This morning on the Let the Bible Speak program, I'd like to talk about the many false gods that people serve today. A lot of times I think people don't consider that they actually give admiration and devotion and reverence to something or someone other than the one true God. In our Western culture, we typically don't associate ourselves with being idolatrous, where we're bowing down to a piece of wood or stone. We commonly think of that as being someone in maybe a third world country or a primitive people or in the Eastern religions. But we don't consider ourselves to be idolatrous. And I want us to consider that this morning. There are religions like Hinduism and Buddhism that have many, many gods. It's been estimated that Hinduism has over a million gods. Not thousands, but over a million. A god for everything around us. Everything you can think of, there is a god associated with that. And we may not be like that, but do we bow down to things and serve things other than God? That's what we want to consider this morning on the program, and we're glad that you've joined us. It is possible for God's people to serve Him and idols at the same time. It's possible for a Christian to serve God and idols at the same time. Now, I don't mean by that God is pleased with that. I'm just simply saying that that's possible. And we find even God's people in the Old Testament, if you'll turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 17, that's exactly what we find them doing. When the northern kingdom of Israel went into Assyrian captivity, there was an exporting of some people and an importing of other people, and it ended up being a mixture of people in Samaria, in the northern part of Palestine, and this mixing of people led to a mixing of worshiping God and false gods. We read in 2 Kings 17 and verse 24, and the king of Assyria brought men from Babylon and from Cutha and from Ava and from Hamath and Sepharvaim and placed them in the cities of Samaria instead of the children of Israel, and they possessed Samaria and dwelt in the cities thereof. And so it was at the beginning of their dwelling there that they feared not Jehovah. Therefore, Jehovah sent lions among them. Verse 27, then the king of Assyria commanded, saying, carry there one of the priests whom you brought from there, and let them go and dwell there, and let them teach them the law of the God of the land. So one of the priests whom they had carried away from Samaria came and dwelt in Bethel, and taught them how they should fear Jehovah. Howbeit every nation made gods of their own, and put them in the house of the high places which the Samaritans had made, every nation in their cities wherein they dwelt. And the men of Babylon made Succoth-Benoth, and the men of Cuth made Nergal, and the men of Hamath made Ashima, and the Avites made Nibhaz and Tarek. And we come on down to verse 32, so they feared Jehovah and made unto them from among themselves priests of the high places who sacrificed for them in the houses of the high places. They feared Jehovah and served their own gods after the manner of the nations from among whom they had been carried away. Also in verse 41, so these nations feared Jehovah and served their graven images, their children likewise, and their children's children, as did their fathers, so do they also unto this day. So we find these people who have come in, and it's a mixed population, and they're trying to fear God and serve their false idols. We find the same thing in Zephaniah chapter 1 and verse 5, if you'll turn with me there. Zephaniah verse chapter 1 and verse 5 talks about this very kind of thing. Verse 4, I will stretch out my hand upon Judah and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place, and the name of the Kemarim with the priest, and them that worship the host of heaven upon the housetops, and them that worship, that swear to Jehovah and swear by Malcolm, and them that are turned back from following Jehovah, and those that have not sought Jehovah nor inquired after him. So you've got a mixture of serving Jehovah and false gods. And I want us to think about that today, friends. There are many people who claim to be religious. They claim to follow God, believe in God. They pray occasionally, or they read their Bible from time to time. But they spend the rest of their time falling down to false gods, not literally, but in their heart, as we're going to see in a minute. And it's going to bring nothing but sorrow in their lives. David, the psalmist, in Psalm 16 and verse 4, their sorrow shall be multiplied that give gifts for another god. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take their names upon my lips. Sorrows will be multiplied that give gifts for another god. It just brings us sorrow when we fall down to the material things of this world. And we're seeing a lot of trouble in our society today as a result of that. What is idolatry? Well, just a standard Webster's definition, of course, the worship of idols, but also the excessive admiration of something, devotion to or reverence for some person or thing. Excessive admiration, devotion to, or reverence for some person or thing. And I believe that fits a lot of what's going on in our world today. You can have an actual idol made of wood or stone or some other material. You can have an outward object to bow down to. That's what God forbade in the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20. God's people were not to have other gods or make graven images. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And number two, thou shalt not make unto thee a graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. So you can have an actual graven image, but I want us to think about the possibility of having an idol in our heart. If you'll turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 14, God's people who had been taken into Babylonian captivity in part because they had left God for false idols, they're in Babylon, and some of them still haven't learned their lesson, and they have idols in their hearts. And Ezekiel is going to be sent to them, we'll read it in just a minute, to rebuke them for that. So you may not have a physical idol sitting around the house somewhere, but in our heart, do we bow down to some person or thing other than God? In Ezekiel chapter 14, we read in verse 1, then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me and sat before me. And the word of Jehovah came unto me, saying, Son of man, these men have taken their idols into their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired at all by them? Therefore speak unto them and say unto them, thus says the Lord Jehovah, every man of the house of Israel that taketh his idols into his heart and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and cometh to the prophet, Jehovah will answer him therein according to the multitude of his idols, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. So they're coming to Ezekiel to inquire of God, tell us what God wants us to do, how to live, and so forth. But secretly, there's idols in their heart, and God is exposing them for that. It'd be like a person today coming to a church service, and I'm here to worship God, but secretly in their heart, they're really serving idols, and they're just going through the outward motions of religion. And God says that he's going to hold them accountable for that. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus says the Lord Jehovah, return ye and turn yourselves from your idols, and turn away your faces from all of your abominations. For every one of the house of Israel, of the strangers that sojourn of Israel, that speaketh himself from me, that separateth himself from me, and taketh his idols into his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to the prophet to inquire for himself of me, I, Jehovah, will answer him by myself. And I will set my face against that man, and I will make him an astonishment for a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of the people, and you shall know that I am Jehovah. We're actually separating ourselves from God when we have idols in our heart. And so that's what I want to talk about this morning. We're going to look at four of them in just a minute. Four false gods that many people serve. And they don't have to be actual idols made of wood or stone. Friend, are you like that? Do we give lip service to God and Jesus Christ and spiritual things and religious things from time to time and prayer and reading our Bible? But really, what controls us is a false god. One of those that I like to talk about is the false god of materialism and money. People bow down to the almighty dollar in materialism. And there's nothing wrong with work. The Bible commands to work. In fact, there are a lot of lazy people that need to get up and get to work. But then some people take work to a level where that's all they do. And they work so that they can get more money, and they want to get more money so that they can buy more things. And after they buy those things, they work more to buy more things. They go into debt buying things, and then they have to work more to pay off the debt. And I don't hardly know of anybody anymore that works a 40-hour work week. There may be some out there. There are some people working up in the 70 range. And it's all about work, because it's all about buying things with the money that they get from work. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth consume, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." He's not saying don't have a bank account. He's saying watch your priorities. People store up things in this life, but they're not taking care of the spiritual side of their lives, laying up treasures in heaven. And then he goes on to say in verse 24, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Mammon is a word in Jesus' day that meant material things. Look at that, serving God or serving mammon. That's what we mean by bowing down to a god, small g. We're serving this. We're to put the kingdom first, verse 33. God will take care of our physical needs, and we do need to work. But we don't need to bow down to the god of materialism. Paul talks about in Colossians 3 and verse 5 that covetousness is idolatry. Covetousness is an unhealthy greed toward material things. So jobs and money and possessions and clothes and cars and phones and computers and houses, those have a place in our life, but not as a master, not as a God. And many times people will be chasing materialism and they won't worship God on Sunday. They won't come to a church service. They're out chasing the almighty dollar or spending it. And their Sundays are spent doing that rather than worshiping God. Cannot give God a little time on Sunday. We've got to spend our money that we made the previous week. We've got to enjoy our possessions so much that we can't come and worship God. A second false god is the god of this world, who is the devil. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, the devil is like a god that people bow down to. And he wants to blind your heart and mind to the gospel. Paul writes, in whom he had been talking about preaching the gospel, and then he says, in whom the god of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should not dawn upon them. And so the god of this world, Jesus calls him the prince of this world, is a type of ruler, a type of God, someone who seeks to rule and reign over people's lives through the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, all that is in the world, 1 John 2:15. And people bow down to him through lust and inordinate desire, not just sexual and immoral lust, although that's rampant in our society. Homosexuality, fornication, adultery, sexual relationships outside of marriage. It's also lust and greed for power and pride and prestige and other kinds of inordinate desires. And many people are bowing down to the god of this world. There actually is a Church of Satan, believe it or not. In the 1960s and 1970s, Anton LaVey started the Church of Satan and the Satanic Bible. And that's an actual church. You can check them out on their official website, formed in 1966. And, you know, it's a place where people can come and just engage in all kinds of lustful and sinful kinds of things under the guise of religion. And some people don't even believe that Satan is a real being, that he's just simply symbolic of what best suits us in nature and our thoughts and our feelings. Some don't necessarily even believe that he's real. And they say that, these Satanists say that we are our own gods. We are our own deities. So, will you be that kind of person? A third false god is the god of self. We wouldn't think about bowing down to ourselves and serving ourselves, but many people do. They put themselves first before others, and especially before God. In Romans chapter 16 and verse 18, Paul writes, "For they that are such he's talking about those who are causing divisions and occasions of stumbling contrary to the doctrine which you learned. He says, turn away from them. And he says, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by their smooth and fair speech they beguile the hearts of the innocent. They've served their own belly. And then turn with me to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 19, where Paul has been talking about the enemies of the cross of Christ. And then he says, whose end is perdition, whose God, small g, is the belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, whence also we wait for a Savior, whose God is the belly, just their own appetites. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2, when Paul talks about grievous times will come, at the beginning of the list he says those who would be lovers of self. So it could be one's education, one's achievements, one's own physical body, one's own opinions or one's own wisdom, one's own lusts and desires, whatever the case might be. We're going to bow down to the God of our own belly. And then there is the false god of pleasure and entertainment. We have the word hedonism, which is giving over to pleasure. It's like what I said earlier about work. There is a place for work in our lives. There's a place for rest. Jesus, on one occasion, we're told in the book of Mark, took his apostles apart in a little while for some rest. They had been very busy teaching. But when pleasure and entertainment becomes a god, that's a problem. And when we're bowing down to that and not allowing God and His Word to work in our lives, that's when we've given over to the false god of hedonism. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 14, when Jesus is talking about the parable of the sower, he says that the seed falls on the thorny ground, and the seed is choked out with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. The word pleasure there is hedonism. We find it again in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 4, where Paul talks about lovers of pleasure, and James talks about it in a negative way in James chapter 4 and verse 1, where he talks about how that, and these are Christians, by the way, who are praying, but God's not going to grant their prayers. He says, you lust and have not, you kill and covet and cannot obtain, you fight and war, you have not because you ask not. And then the verse right before that, he says, whence come wars and fightings? Do they not come even of your pleasures that war in your members? So, what is it for many people today? Hollywood and hobbies and sports and all kinds of forms of entertainment and music. A lot of this, in and of itself, might be innocent and okay, but it's taken over people's lives where, like on work, and with regard to Sunday, they don't worship God anymore. I've got to get out on the golf course. I've got to go out fishing. I've got to go to the NFL football game on Sunday. And the whole Sunday is spent at the football game. Super Bowl Sunday has taken over the whole Sunday. And even different churches have howcowed to that and caved into that and compromised. And many of them are getting rid of their church services on Sunday because nobody's showing up on Super Bowl Sunday. I remember when I was young that we might watch a football game on Sunday afternoon on TV, and the sports channels would start televising sports sometime after the noon hour. But now, you get up early Sunday morning and the pregame show is going strong all day long from Sunday morning sunup to sundown. It's all about pleasure and entertainment with many people. And they're engaged in an excessive admiration of, devotion to, or reverence for some person or thing. And that's their problem. How do we know if we're serving false gods? We might say, well, I don't have a piece of wood or stone. Well, how do we know that we have an idol in our heart? Let me suggest three things. Number one, do we use these things that we've been talking about as tools to get through life or as masters to serve? Things like work and material things are tools to get us through life. We're not to bow down to them like masters. We're to keep everything in perspective and keep God first in our life and let these other things be secondary in nature. In 1 Timothy 6, Paul talks about those who have a love of money. It's a root of all kinds of evil, which some reaching after have been led astray from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. We need to use them simply as servants, not as masters. And we need to be honest. Are we bowing down to them? If we had to choose God or something else like this on Sunday, which do we typically choose? Number two, do we choose one of these over proper service to the Lord? The rich young ruler in Matthew chapter 19, 20 through 22, would not give up his physical possessions to come follow Jesus. He loved them too much. He could have followed Jesus. He could have been saved. But he walked away sorrowful because he had many possessions. He made the choice to stay with his material things. Which one do you choose, friend? Have you chosen to obey the gospel and become a Christian? Do you choose each Sunday morning to get up and come and worship God? The choices that we make show if we are serving false gods or not. And number three, do we share what we have or hoard it and put our hope and trust in it? Paul talks about in 1 Timothy 6, 17 and following, those who put their trust in the uncertainty of riches. And the rich fool farmer in Luke 12, 13 and following, who focused on his material possessions, but he didn't take care of his soul. Friends, as we come to the close of the program, there are false gods that many people serve. The god of materialism, the god of this world, the devil, the god of self, and the god of pleasure and entertainment. Let's put those things out of our heart and choose to obey God and put him first in his son, Jesus Christ. In obeying the gospel, prayer, Bible study, worship, Come be with us. Learn how to put God first in your life. We're so glad that you joined us this morning, and we hope that our Bible study has been helpful, and we hope that you'll come visit us at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. We hope that you'll have a good day.